Hello.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Dustin.
My name is Dustin Morbido.
It's true.
Welcome.
That was the most low-key entrance ever.
And welcome to NPR.
Oh, I wish.
Today
I just,
on
I can't.
The delicious
I always
dish.
Think of that one radio announcer from Parks and Rec. That super
the
chill
one.
Guy.
Their fake NPR.
Oh my god, I love him so much.
Dan Castellaneta plays him. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I they say his name like because he's on like two episodes or something, two or three episodes. Like, but yeah.
It's like Larry Burbles or something.
Yeah.
It's so good. And the way they bring in the guy from Eagleton.
Yeah, right. That was John Hodgkins.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Anyway, who else is here with you, Dustin?
On NPR. You are in the flesh. Lorraine Morbido is here.
We all talked.
We did all speak.
That's true.
How's it going?
No surprises here.
No. I'm good.
That's good. I'm doing pretty good.
It snowed today.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What the fuck? God. Spring has sprung or whatever.
Bitch.
Thanks, bitch. That's right. Yeah. Also joining us via the internet, Kyle Woo-hoo. McGrath is here.
Baseball's back.
It's Maybe. Sort of like the two.
There was a chance we would have gone to a Tigers game today because my parents had gotten free tickets and it got pushed back to the 20th. Huh. I think they already have a game that day.
Those first couple of weeks are really rough, even for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Weather permitting.
Freezing and raining.
Huge
and
asterisks
cold
on,
awful.
Right?
I heard the wind chill was like 20 or something today. It's windy outside.
I was out earlier. Like, it was blowing. Like that was.
Haven't seen the sun in a couple of days for sure.
It was actually like it. There were points in time, I think it was just because it was so windy and it was blowing the clouds this morning, that it was like snowing and sunny at the same time, and it was really freaky. But then, like, 10 minutes later, it would be, like, almost white out, and there was, like fog across the street. It was fucking wild this morning. And then it was just, like, pouring last night.
Yep.
Welcome to Michigan, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Even when I went out earlier to walk for a little bit in the afternoon, it was, like, snowing, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, you could see, like, 10 flurries at a time falling, and then, like, maybe even melting before they hit the ground.
Oh, definitely.
But there was like snow in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was driving to my parents' house earlier, there
absolutely
was
technically snowing.
Like that, the blowy snow on the side, like the streets, the cement.
Flurry.
Blurries.
But I mean, all things considered, it's not so bad.
No.
Oh, we're not like the hurricane force winds either. Or,
oh no.
That one, like, day or two, like
there
a year or two ago.
There were a few
like,
tornadoes touched down.
Most of the trees are gone.
South of here.
Yeah.
Like, south. Southern states.
Yeah. Tornadoes have touched.
Tornadoes have touched.
Yeah. Touched by a tornado.
Bad touch. Bad touch.
Touch fuzzy, get dizzy.
I mean, yes.
When you said that, for some reason, in my mind, it's either, like, like, that would be on a cute t-shirt of, like, two tornadoes holding hands. Or, like a horrible, like, evangelical poster of, like,
hell
this
yeah.
is what happens when you have sex before marriage.
Hell
tornadoes
yeah.
touch.
I vote the second one.
Wow. All right. Well.
Those double tornadoes are a thing of legend and are just terrifying.
Yes.
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Anyway.
Woo.
You know what's not a tornado?
What?
Video games. I mean, well, most things.
Most things.
Almost everything.
Most
other
things.
Than
you can put them into, there's two Venn diagrams, two circles in this Venn diagram.
Not my
there's
strongest transition.
Is tornadoes and is not tornadoes.
There aren't a ton of tornadoes in video games. They've not been well represented.
Most things fall into the not tornado category.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But,
if they,
but ironically, though, I did play a game where you could kind of make mini tornadoes.
Was it SimCity?
No. It was Ever Oasis.
Go on, tell me about Ever Oasis.
So I was
is that
playing
one of those website mobile games?
No.
It sure sounds like it is, isn't it? Like, doesn't that sound like it's a web portal, yeah. like a Neopets
no.
equivalent?
Adult web game for you, Ever Oasis.
It's a 3DS
Sign
game that
now.
Came out
yeah,
last
that,
year.
That definitely sounds like banner
does.
Ad with
it's
tits
really
on
bad.
It.
It's really bad. It's not the most unique name ever.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Go on.
They had shown I believe I first saw it at E3 last year, like during the Treehouse event stuff. It's kind of like a town sim / 3D third-person adventure game. Your little character is tasked with building this oasis in the desert, and you've got to get people to, like, just random people wandering the desert to show up. You like do little like kind of Animal Crossing e requests for them, like, oh, go get me X pieces of cactus or whatever. And then they become a resident of your oasis and build like a shop, which then caters to, I believe they're called newts, which are like N-O-O-T. They're these like round circle, like quail birds that were close and just show up and buy shit. So you've got to constantly restock their stores, pick up the money that they produce, and then go and explore these dungeons while increasing your oasis.
I do have a question about that game because I watched you play it over your shoulder a tiny bit.
What?
How's the dungeon? Is the dungeon stuff all like is that created like authored content, yes, or is it like randomly generated,
not,
like some of those
like
older roguelike-y Persona games or whatever?
No. Dungeon is a fairly liberal term. The game is very easy.
I mean, they look like, from a distance, they look like dungeons to me. They're like hallways that you wander around and smack things by hitting a button.
Yep. I mean, it's basically that. You can recruit the residents of your oasis into your party. You can have up to you and two other people at once. And then you go through. Normally you're just kind of like, oh, like, we've found a person over here. Go find them and make them come back to the oasis at some point. And there's like a day-night cycle. Like, there's a clock in the bottom corner of the touchscreen all the time, and it's constantly ticking. Like, I don't think there's really like a day. There's not like a calendar. It's just like day and night passes. And then just building an oasis, and there's bosses sometimes. The bosses were probably the most interesting part of the game. Like, they weren't. Nothing was overly challenging. There were a few puzzles in like the last area that were actually like puzzles. Everything else was just like, hit this switch. Okay, go through the door. Here's a key. Unlock this door we just passed. All right, let's keep going. It was very light. I put 30 some hours into it. Like, to actually, there's endgame stuff that I haven't done, because I haven't really felt like going back just yet. To keep upping the rank of my oasis, but I beat the final boss.
Okay, that's cool. What's the order when you talk about the boss fights? Because I didn't see you do any of that stuff.
There's like five in the game.
Well, how do those encounters work? Just out of curiosity, like, is it more, is it closer to like something like a Zelda or like even like a Dark Souls, where there's either some specific thing you need to figure out about it, or like pattern recognition involved, or is it mostly like a raw DPS check? Like, are they there to just make sure that you've gotten, like, you've collected enough shit and, like, made the armor that you need at that point or whatever? Because neither one, like, both of those are on some level probably fine. I'm just trying to get a better gauge for, like,
it's probably closer to a Zelda or a Dark Souls
gameplay-wise.
Because as you get more people, they all have different, like, there's, like, a handful of different weapons that, like, there's, like, of the three groups of people, your person is a seedling, which are these little tiny, like, humanoid things that can use basically every weapon that you can craft. There's these, I honestly don't remember any of the names of these characters. There's, like, these snake lizard ladies that have, like, spears. They're these big, like, kind of bug guys who have hammers. And then these little, like, squirrel guys who have, like, twin knives. And the seedlings will have abilities where, like, some of them, this one guy can, like, on a certain plants, he can turn into a ball and roll through these little, like, holes in the wall, or there's another one that can like jump into a different kind of plant, parachute up and jump into somewhere else. So you need those abilities. Like, you, as you find the people that you're out searching for, they join you, you use their abilities normally in the next dungeon that you go into, and then the bosses kind of revolve around using that and also doing like kind of the DPS check thing like you were saying. But they're still also always very simple. Like, there wasn't any real big challenge. A lot of the final boss was just literally survive. One thing that they do though is really put a squeeze on how much healing items you can take. You can only have up to 5 of everything, which does heal your entire party, but that goes way, like, that goes away really fast. Like, I was kind of able to make it through the last dungeon on just barely what I had, because it was kind of like 2 mid-bosses and then the, like, a 2-stage final boss.
Mm-hmm. And so you'd refill those, like, every time you return to your little town or whatever, but
but that's also extremely limited, because you do have the ability to use what's called an Aqua Gate, which is kind of like an instant teleport back, and then you can keep going back to that point until you either, like, I think it was, like, pick up a quest in a, like, a named area, or you make a new Aqua Gate, because you don't level up until you return to town. That's when you get experience. That's when you can change party members, which is frustrating because sometimes you need certain abilities and you have to like, okay, I need to leave, go back, change my party out, come back. And then there's also these like warp panels that they were fairly good about putting in most of the new areas and multiple stages through the dungeon. There's like a beginning, a middle, and an end one, like right before the boss of it, that they were nice enough to put in there at times. And those are like permanent. Yeah. It was cute. I liked the art style a lot. It was very cartoony.
It's kind of neat.
I had fun with it.
Have you played any other games that are like that level of like that specific mix of sort of like traditional RPG stuff and like town management kind of, because it's a little, it's like a, you know, a light action RPG kind of swished together with like maybe a later version of like Harvest Moon or something. Like, would that
be accurate? You're actually thinking about like Rune Factory, which is what that was. It was like a fantasy RPG and also like a farming sim, which I never actually really got into. I just never picked one of those games up, even though I enjoy the Harvest Moon series a fair amount. I think it was just because I saw it at E3 and I thought it looked cute, and I had received like a 20% off birthday coupon from Nintendo, and that was one of the games on the list. It was like, I was thinking about playing this game. I'll just buy it. I had fun.
Okay, that's cool.
It sounds like there's a decent amount of stuff to still do after the final boss. So I might return to it someday. I mean, I bought it digitally, so it's just on my 3DS now. Always waiting in the wings. It's cute.
Neat.
Yee.
That sounds sort of cool. Like I said, it was different. Like I didn't know what prompted you to start playing it, but it looked kind of fun.
Before that, how much of your 3DS have you been using lately? Because I've like not touched mine for a while. I think it might be time.
I'm trying to think of the last thing I really played on that. It might have been Ultra Sun.
I say probably was. Yeah. I can't think of anything else. But you would have played on that platform
in my 3DS for a while. I was playing my Vita a decent amount recently, but I have technically started and gotten maybe like an hour into Detective Pikachu.
Oh, I didn't even know you'd open that up.
Yeah, that just came out.
How is it?
It's cute. It's a little slow. Kind of like movement and everything. Like they want to tell you, like, I'm a person who doesn't like. There's new notifications on like things like menu options. EverOasis was really bad about that. It was fucking everywhere. And Detective Pikachu is just as bad, if not worse. And so I have to go through whenever I like, oh, you picked up this Murkrow feather. Let's go clear the fucking menu thing because it says there's new information there. God, that
you
Pikachu.
You click on it and it says, hey, you picked up this Murkrow feather.
Yeah, hey, look, it's a Murkrow feather. Like, fucking thank you. God, that the Pikachu is just so weird. I didn't know this going in, but apparently only the main kid can understand the Pikachu, and he's just fucking like a Pikachu to everybody else, so everyone thinks he's crazy.
So he's, mentally questionable.
Is he just a Pikachu, like, the kids see a Pikachu standing on a time lanes with a hat,
yes.
And then, like, the people around him are
everyone
like,
sees
it's
that.
A Pikachu on all fours, like, rolling around and looking at itself.
I think everyone sees the Pikachu as is, but they just can't understand him.
Does it sound like, you know, Danny DeVito, or?
I mean, yeah, I don't know who the voice actor is. It's not as graphic.
Yeah, I don't know who does that voice, but it's still a good,
To the unsuspecting bystander, does he sound like, you know, normal Pikachu or Danny DeVito Pikachu?
I don't remember, because they showed it one time. So the game starts off with this, like, series of, still image, like, slideshow cutscene of a detective getting this Pikachu, giving him the hat. They get in the car together. They get in a fucking car accident. And then the Pikachu wakes up on a bench. And then he goes to cross the street. And a car, slams on the brakes because he's in the crosswalk. And he's, like, yelling it. And then so the Pikachu's like, Pika, Pika. You hear him saying English. And then it switches to him shouting Pikachu.
You know, you don't really think about roadkill in the Pokemon universe very often.
Whoa.
Because it's like,
it's gotta be real.
It's a little weird seeing, like, normal proportioned humans next to these Pokemon in this, like, city. Yeah. Like, you don't know, like, you see it in, like, the anime or whatever, but just, like, having it as, like, an interactive space is kind of weird. Like, the first case you go on is this, these two rowdy apoms steal a necklace from this, like, right off this fucking little girl's neck. And you're tracking him around town, and then you find out he got into a fight with a Murkrow, and I'm trying to find the Murkrow now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact that this game attributes the concept of, like, detective work and due process to the world of Pokemon is in itself kind of funny, because, like, I guess like, Officer Jenny or whatever exists in the Pokemon universe, but that's more like a, like, that's a closer concept to, like, a G.I. Joe level of, like, heroics than, like,
troops,
it's not, like, it's not like she's doing, you know, like, gathering evidence.
She's not looker.
She just shows up on the scene and says, like, hey, bad guys, if at all.
Sick'em Growlithe.
And then sick'em Growlithe. So, yeah, to put something in, like, in the Pokemon universe that is, like, somewhat close, like, that's, like, in the ballpark of what reality is just kind of funny, but
it's really weird.
do you like the Pikachu voice? Because I actually like I'm into the like gruff, like,
I
hard-boiled a detective as they're gonna make Pikachu, like, I'm into.
I'm glad they didn't try to like it. Anime it up or they went like hard in the detective anime voice. I still would have loved Dan DeVito because that would have been fucking hysterical. But I'm fine with the grizzled voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually want to, like, I think it'll be a little weird if they, presumably when that movie comes out or whatever.
Because it's Ryan
yeah,
Reynolds,
yeah,
because
Ryan Reynolds, I don't know if he has a speed other than sassy. Like, I don't think he can not do that, but I could be wrong.
This Pikachu is really sassy, though. Like, he's hard-boiled, but he's, like,
but he's, like, sassy in a, like, he's still, the voice that he has in that game is still, like, it sounds like he could get up, take a shot of whiskey, and then, like, strap on his badge and his gun.
I mean, I'm assuming that's what this Pikachu does when he's not homeless.
Man. But so anyway,
I really want to finish this game, or at least try to.
So what's the gameplay like? Is it, like, is it kind of like a point-and-click adventure thing?
No, you're walking around, and you could talk to people and Pokemon, because Pikachu can understand them. And speak back to you in English what's fucking happening. So he's basically,
but the kid can't understand any other Pokemon.
No, it's so, just... So, like, because they even comment about that. Pikachu's like, oh, you can only understand me. It's fucking weird, man. That's why I really want to play this game. It's so bizarre. And then there's some... Like, you have to, like... You'll, like, draw diagrams and, like, place the evidence where you see it, and then you can, like, move on. Like, there was one time it's like, oh, we don't know where these APOM went, because there was two of them, but one of them was throwing hot dogs at you at one point, which was a quick time event, so there's quick time events in this, too. And the other one, like, put his tail hand in paint, so there was, like, a red hand print and a white one. You had to figure out which one had the necklace, and then piece that evidence on your diagram. Then you could move on from that screen.
Is that all, like, touchscreen stuff? Like, slide stuff around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can use the, like, D-pad or circle pad if you want to, but that is touch stuff. And then there was, like, I found the one fucking APOM, like, fainted on the ground, so then it was, like, a point and click, like, oh, like, let's look at this evidence and this, and then suss out what happened. And, yeah. It's weird.
Interesting. That's really something. Do you know, does it look like it's pretty much just like a completely linear, like,
I believe so.
Like, does it look like there's really any off the beaten path? Like, take out this case on the side.
No, I think there's just cases. There is more stuff in this release than the original Japanese one. They have added some things to it. I don't know exactly what, because I never played the original Japanese one. I just know there is more content in this release.
Okay. I have a stupid follow-up question about the Pikachu himself.
Oh my God.
So, like, what's the nature of the justice you're pursuing?
Is
he,
know.
Like, involved with an actual police force?
I don't think
is
so.
He, like, a private detective who's, like...
I think he just, like, because you just, you come out of the subway.
Like, why
and
does
then,
the Pikachu want to solve cases?
Listen, you come out of the subway, the APOM takes your pamphlet, the other APOM takes the girl's necklace. So you witness this happen, and then the Pikachu, like, you grab one of the APOMs, and the Pikachu has also grabbed the APOM, and then you find the Pikachu... And you're talking to him, and he's like, shit, you can understand me. And you're like, oh my God, I can understand a Pikachu. And then he's just like, come on, let's solve this case. And, like, that was it.
Okay.
So I'm thinking the guy he was in the car crash with was an actual detective, because there was, like, an office that they showed in those stills.
Okay, but that thing
so
you're
I have no idea what the actual connection...
Yeah, that thing you're describing now is sort of like a self-contained one-off thing, because I'm expecting that game eventually to have, like...
like a larger arc for the Pikachu himself.
That's what I assume that's the will
case.
Happen.
I think that is the case because there's like
based on like what you described.
I think the smaller cases that you take on, like there's unrest in the city. I don't know what fucking city it is. It had an actual. It wasn't like New York. It had like a fake name, but I don't remember what it was. Because the kid.
Oh, thank goodness it wasn't like.
Well, it looks like New York. There's a subway that looks like you got out at a fucking like New York ass looking subway
station. But it
looks
like West, like the West. Yes. It doesn't look like Japan.
No.
Okay.
The kid you're playing, Todd something or other, or Tom, I don't fucking care. Mm-hmm. He's looking for his dad, which is why he came to the city, because he's been gone for like 2 years or something like that. And the Pikachu just wants to solve cases. And so you kind of just like met, and there's like Pokemon are going nuts in the city or something like that. And, like that. So you're trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Indeed. I can't wait to hear the intrigue of like... Can't wait for that game to become like Zootopia also. It's like
pretty much.
All this profiling of these dark types, man. It's all
I
a bunch of shit.
I honestly think it has something to do with Mewtwo.
It's never the fairy types, is
That's
it?
That's right.
Because I think I saw like there was some promotional material about like Mewtwo sightings or something like that. So I think it honestly comes around to being Mewtwo related for some reason.
Shadow Mewtwo.
Say Mewtwo is exerting like a negative influence on...
We're gonna
like the, he's like the Pennywise
out.
Of that Pokemon.
We're all psychic down here.
See him like eating a Pidgey, like just carving
God
at its insides.
Holy shit.
Anyway.
When you think about it, you know, in a world where there's a billion types of Pokemon that have psychic abilities, why is a Pikachu doing it?
I don't know.
It's right up their alley. A Kadabra should be doing this.
Detective Dekabra doesn't roll off the tongue as much.
No. Detective
Esper just stares at you.
I just blanked on all the other psychic types, even though there's so many.
Literally every other psychic type doesn't exist. It's just Kadabra. Just him.
Detective Drowsy. There you go.
Thank you.
He's asleep.
Thank you.
He's asleep on the job.
He's, yeah,
he's like a deputy.
Got the skills.
He's just like asleep at the desk the entire time. They're like, wake up.
He's dreaming about the perp.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. He would be like in your crime procedural like fantasy thing where like he has the ability to like he sees crimes before they happen.
Oh God! What was that?
He's a minority
person
report.
Of interest. That was that.
Yeah, Minority Report.
That TV show
okay,
that was like,
yeah.
Oh, we're tracking everyone all the time, and the guy in the room just like sent the guy mm-hmm. to do all the shit, and I don't know.
Yeah, Drowsy is a precog. Rest you for the future murder of that Rowlet. You have the right to remain silent. Also, Drowsy.
Yawns at you to make you more mm-hmm. complacent.
What if does the Pikachu in question have an NCIS like affectation? Does he like have a sun like take off the sunglasses and say a one-liner equivalent yet? Because
I wish
I was 1 week away from retirement.
Oh, I
knew
wish.
I should have stayed in bed today. Dealing with this is worse than dealing with my ex-wife.
Pikachu. Cough, cough. Drink from flask. Yeah.
I do know he makes some kind of comment on coffee because I saw it in the trailer. Like, he fucking just drinks a cup of coffee. I can't wait for that to happen.
Tells you all about the beans, like the mountain that was going around. It becomes like a Sojiro interaction.
Oh, I wish. Oh, I wish. I wish Pikachu was voiced by Sojiro. That would
be pretty good.
That'd be incredible.
Like, it's not like super distant from that, but
no, it's not.
Sojiro is a much more like composed, like just like deep voice. Like,
I want that. Give me that.
Like Sojiro, the sound of Sojiro's voice seems like he has it a little too together to be like a hard boiled detective. The Pikachu voice that he has is like, I feel like there's just enough like unhingedness or like,
right.
You feel like he might, you know. Adorably
your
put
face
the boot
up with a bat.
Yeah, put the boots to you to get information.
Where's the money?
Zap!
I can do
no,
this
he can't.
All day.
So he made it. He said a thing. He's like, oh, like the kid was like, oh, Pikachu can just use Thunderbolt if I'm in trouble. And he's like, I can't actually. he's made a comment on like Meowth from the anime. He's like, oh, I can't learn any more moves because I learned how to talk.
Say all his mental bandwidth is.
Yep. Oh, this game's so weird.
It's probably a YouTube video somewhere about like the fake science of like Pokemon neuroplasticity
science
and
with P. I know how much you love that from Persona.
Yeah.
Science.
Oh, you should tell Kyle your feelings about Persona. I know he's already heard them. We should.
I mean, I like it a lot. I still want to wait until it's done and then get into it. Yet. Yeah, like I want to talk about it for like a really long chunk once that game is over.
But... How's the palace though?
I mean, I like it. I like that game. It's the end is still the closest thing, and it might be just because I've been thinking about replaying this game recently. But
I thought you were Persona. It's like, bro, you're not even done.
No. But so far, having not actually completed that palace, but gotten into it a little bit, it kind of feels like the end of BioShock Infinite.
Okay.
Not in terms of like actual gameplay, like that the things you're doing are similar, but it feels like they ran out of runway. Like, they either didn't decide how it should end, or they like didn't have time to end it gameplay wise in the way they wanted to. And so in Persona, they just give you, here's this, like, way too many hallways that take way too long to navigate. And in BioShock, it was just like, oh, you're going from, like, pretty, like, mostly well-put-together, like, linear, like, action sequences throughout, like, manufactured environments. And then it just kind of stops hard. And it's like, oh, okay, now do this, like, weird wave-based thing that looks like it was literally just pasted into this game because they didn't have time to build something else.
Yeesh.
I don't know. I'm still more up on that game than the vast majority of people, I think. Like,
what,
I still
BioShock
like that game
Infinite
a lot. Infinite.
Okay. Yes. I like that. I liked watching you play.
I mean, I think it's still like sorta early to know what the like future consensus will be on Persona 5, but I'm totally people satisfied like with that game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't love the fact that it like has slowed to a crawl a tiny bit in this last little stretch, but
that last dungeon's a real stretch.
Yeah, it's not a deal breaker for me for the game
as a whole.
But it's not like I do just wish it was like shorter because the ways that it is long are not fun.
Yeah, it's
like
tedious.
Spending more time running down hallways and like backtracking through hallways is just not a good use of anyone's time.
Nope,
you got through the worst of it.
Yeah,
like those last two sections are not nearly as bad.
Yeah, is there one more hallway
There's
section
two more. Oh,
two.
I don't
well, yeah, I mean, well, whatever, we'll find out. We'll,
yeah,
like, they're not, like I said, they're not nearly as bad.
I know there's at least one more. I can't remember if there was a second one or not.
I think there's,
I could believe there's a second one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to finishing that game. Like I said, I still unless something goes like super sideways, which I don't think is necessarily gonna happen, like I will definitely feel positively about that game by the time it wraps up.
It finishes pretty strong, so
yeah,
wouldn't be worried about it.
It's cool. I like it.
Persona.
Persona Dance.
Oh, no.
Did you have any
Sojiro will be in that dancing game?
I
hope so. That'd
I
be so good.
I honestly don't think so, because I think they've done all the characters and have said DLC characters already.
He's got so many good, like,
it'd be really,
his, like,
yeah,
Night in the Town outfit.
Akechi's
like,
in there, though.
They could just put the soundtrack of Saturday Night Fever in that game.
At least
like,
Akechi's in the game.
I would buy that game right now if you
and, like,
told me that I could make...
From the fucking like battle arena games.
If you told me that I could make Sojiro dance to the Bee Gees, I would pre-order that game.
If you just had
day one purchase.
The female Persona 3 protagonist in that game, I would buy it. But I don't think I'm going to, because she's not.
What if she's DLC?
But they already announced the DLC.
Oh.
I'm glad Shinjiro's fucking in there, because they weren't saying anything about goddamn him. But no, I don't think Koromaru's in the game either. Let me dance
dogs
with
can't
the dog,
dance.
Damn
dogs
it.
Can't dance.
Dogs can't dance.
Bears and cats can dance. Why can't dogs?
They're not was real bears or cats.
No, that was it was Cats Don't Dance. That was an animated movie in 1990-something, right?
I don't remember, because I maybe saw it once.
Okay. I just wanted to like fact check myself to see if that was real or
it
if
exists,
I invented that.
Yes. I recall that there might have been a Don Bluth thing.
I think that was a Don Bluth production. It's your, in my mind, like... playing back images of what I'm pretty sure that movie looked like. Having, like you said, having seen it probably one time, but for some reason it occupies some corner of my conscious mind.
It's a Bluthy looking... Oh, yeah.
But there is Morgana in the
game.
Speaking of cats that don't dance.
Yeah, of course Morgana's in the game. No,
so cats
it was
do
Mark
dance.
Dindal.
Okay, well, whatever.
It was not... it was March 26, 1997.
Indeed.
It exists. Cats Don't Dance is a thing. Of course Morgana's in that game. Morgana's a party member. You know who else is a party member? Koromaru!
Morgana does walk...
like a real dog, though.
Morgana does walk on two legs, though. Like, yeah. I think that's the duh.
I don't fucking care.
Well...
let me dance with a dog, damn it.
Well, make your own dancing game based on
a
persona.
That's not even worth my time.
You can have all the characters you want.
I could.
You could make Dog Dancer, the game where you dance with dogs.
Dog Dance Revolution.
Yep. The whole game is just like the, like, you know, like when you have a golden retriever jump up on you and you just kind of like hold its paws
place
for
the beat.
Yeah. Play.
It's Dancing with the Stars, but it's Dancing with the Dogs.
Dancing with the Dogs. Man, there you go.
I can't believe that hasn't been on like ABC in a primetime slot yet.
Man, it kind of like, should have been.
Yeah, you'd think.
Like
right?
Years ago. Delightful.
Anyway, is that about it for Detective Pikachu for now?
Yeah, I've going played like an hour of the... that game.
I want to hear more about it.
I want to play more of it.
Still, like, the idea that they made it all, I think, is like...
It's the weirdest fucking thing.
I'm cool with it. I like that if they're going to make weird Pokemon spinoffs, that they are very weird and very different from what the core Pokemon franchise is. I think that's as smart a way as any to put more Pokemon products on the shelves.
I feel like they've delivered on that concept... For the most part, with most of the Pokemon spinoffs, like,
yeah, and I like the fact that it's more of a like that it's a very different thing. Like, it is very much a video game that's not like here's a puzzle game with Pokemon on it, or
right.
You know, like it's a different genre of video game, but it is absolutely not like just copy pasted assets over like an existing game concept. Basically,
I mean, like if you look at other Pokemon spinoffs, you've got like the Mystery Dungeon series, you've got the Ranger series, the two PokePark games. Those are all very different. The fuck, Hey You Pikachu and goddamn Pokemon Channel are weird as fucking shit.
Like those are both actually like better. Like I think those two, Hey You Pikachu and I'm not really familiar with Pokemon Channel, but like
we should play
Pokemon Snap
sometime.
And Hey You Pikachu are like where I would
Pokemon
put
Snap.
where I would categorize Detective Pikachu in my like in
I'd
my
put,
personal
I
canon
would put
of
Channel
Pokemon
on there
because
Channel's fucking weird, man.
Like I said, that's just because
you just sit around and watch TV. With
I never
the
tried
Pikachu,
it out, but,
and you order shit and you go. It's so weird, man. You'd be on the news.
But I would put those like in one bucket, and then I would put the like I would personally put like the Mystery Dungeon games and like Pokemon Troze and stuff like that in another bucket of like those. I'm not saying like there's anything wrong with those games, but they're very much here's an existing game that we just added Pokemon to.
Have you played Troze before though?
I think I've played it like one time. I've probably played it once.
I have never played a puzzle game quite like that. It is very different from most other puzzle games because you're like sliding shit around. So I wouldn't necessarily, if you want to say like just slapping stuff on, I would put Mystery Dungeon in there, but I wouldn't put like Troze and Ranger because those are completely different fucking things.
Okay.
Ranger's fucking strange because you're like running around, you're like drawing shit with on like capturing dudes. It's weird. I only played the first one because that was the one you could get Manaphy from. And that series didn't really click with me, and there's like four of them.
Mm-hmm.
All DS games.
Before we move on, do you know who made that game?
What?
Like Detective Pikachu? Like, is that a Game Freak project? Or
I think it
is
was,
I don't think so.
I think it was Grizzo, actually.
Do you know what else they've made? That name doesn't sound familiar to me, but I bet if you look
they did
up there...
the Zelda remakes for 3DS.
Oh, all right. I could be down with that.
Grizzo those were... did. I don't know who made Detective Pikachu.
I think it was sure. Grizzo.
Creatures, Inc.
Well, that's Pokemon.
So that's
Pokemon.
Basically, yeah, like the core team.
The kid's name is Tim, by the way. I was okay, close. Great. Todd. Tim,
anyway, it's not like super important. I was just curious if you knew off the top of my head because I definitely did not. I was just kind of wondering where that game's origin is development-wise.
Successor to Shigesato Itoi's Ape Inc.
Didn't know that.
It's the guy. I knew that. That's the guy who made the Mother series.
Earthbound, yeah.
I talk about that in a second. For a little bit, but
Monopoly Earthbound, Mario's Picross.
there you go. Anyway, while you're kind of eyeballing that,
they made Hey You Pikachu.
all right, so that there's a that comes from a definitive lineage of weird
stadium
Pokemon
games. The
Monopoly SNES,
yeah, Coliseum,
Monopoly Game 2.
They make like basically most of the Pokemon spinoffs.
Okay.
Yeah, so they did a lot of them.
So they made like some real weird shit, and then also
they helped
some,
with X
like,
and Y. That's the only
super thankless ports.
X yeah. and Y are the only main series Pokemon games that they have a credit on.
Okay.
And it's like all the Rangers, all the like Colosseum
games.
They did
modeling for X and Y.
Neat.
That makes sense because they made all the 3D Pokemon games.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of them.
Right.
They helped with the Game Boy Camera.
Woo! Hell yeah!
Software co-development.
All right, that's cool. I mean, they probably made some of those mini games or something.
Probably.
That
game, there's technically like some gameplay in the Pokemon or the Game Boy Camera interface, but that juggling game isn't going to program itself. anyway,
Kyle, what have you been up to, video game wise or otherwise? I guess.
Like 9 episodes through Westworld.
Yes,
got into that.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's right.
I'm pretty hyped for season two.
I'm excited.
Were there only 10 episodes in that season?
Yes.
You're almost done.
So don't spoil it.
Oh no, I won't.
I say I know you've already. You've seen some pretty big shit at this point.
Yeah.
I'm still not going to get into it if anyone wants to go watch it for themselves. But yeah, I like that show a lot.
The show's real weird.
Yes.
It's good.
Yes,
I like it,
on
multiple levels. I like, I am a sucker for the concept of like a weird, like next level amusement park. Like still even that on its face is one of the reasons I love Jurassic Park so much. Just
I was
like,
gonna say, like, this is just Jurassic Park.
I mean,
with
it's Crichton.
People. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He did, this was a
movie. This wasn't a book, but he made this before Jurassic
Park.
Yeah.
He wrote this movie.
Oh. Yeah.
And it got made in so there is a 70s Westworld movie that he wrote, that is fundamentally like,
Less sex, probably.
Well, yeah, and it's less like it's
just like robots rise up and just kind of kill people.
Yeah, my understanding is that
it's really Jurassic Park, but cowboy robots.
Yeah, the movie's only like probably like 2 hours long or whatever. Because I haven't actually seen it, but my understanding is that it's not really it doesn't get into any of the like do androids have consciousness kind of thing the series goes to. It's much more of exactly what Jurassic Park was of it's a theme park where something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody dies.
and then lots of people die. But yeah, I like that part of the show, and I also like its weird like the way that it kind of reflects game design in weird ways.
Like, you can see the programming angles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not like overtly all the time, but every once in a while they like they specifically highlight, like they show people, you know, like going through their loops or whatever in like a very like open world gamey kind of way.
That's the part of it that sort of I get lost a little bit when I really get into it. It's like, this would never work this way for whatever reason. Like, that's impossible. Like, I can't even. I still am not sure. Like, does the whole park run on a cycle? Like, does it reset every week or so? Or
they're never really clear about that. But
it's
it
very
must.
Unclear.
Like, it has to, right?
Yeah, like
right.
I would think that, like, yeah, if you stretch out the, like, maybe if it's even like on a month or every month or two,
maybe.
Like the park in itself must cycle through.
Mm-hmm.
But because part of that, like part of the season one story is that there's like push and pull about them creating new content for the park, basically.
And it's ruining their cycles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A new story, I think, is kind of like what they call it.
Right.
Side quest or
narrative.
Big event, yeah.
So like one would have to assume that, you know, just like video games, you know, they make content and it's, you know, it's exactly this one thing. And then, you know, people can play it as much as they want, but eventually they'll get bored unless you add something else.
Right.
You know? So that's why they need a new, like, they need to create a new storyline or whatever.
For like 2 or 3 episodes, I wasn't even clear if it was in, you know, the real world or if they were in like a simulation hologram, holodeck or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Like, whether it was like a physical, I get you.
I still kind of am not over the first episode of that show. Because you think James Marsden, that's the
Cyclops.
Cyclops.
You think that he's like, oh my gosh, that twist though.
Sure.
Like, oh. I think that's actually.
I mean,
I didn't say
right.
What it was.
Yeah.
There's
spoilers,
a twist. There's
funny.
A twist in like every episode.
Yeah, I'll
close
give you that.
To it.
But just the way that it turned like that, it was, I think that's really what actually got me like hooked on the show. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
It sort of just fills that role that Lost used to fill. It just setting up a bunch of weird storylines and having a whole bunch of twists build off of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Yeah, and I was going to
only. More sensibly designed with an end in mind.
For sure. And I was going to say that too. And the fact that I like that it works on multiple levels, I think much better than Lost did.
Right.
Which like that is to its benefit too. Because so on the one hand, there's that. There's like it does have good like twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has things that either you might not expect or that you might have like a slight inkling toward thinking that might happen. And then,
right,
and then
somebody
they happen.
Will say something and then 3 episodes later, a twist will happen. Like, oh, that makes so much sense now.
Yeah. I think they're like commentary on, you know, robots and consciousness and all that stuff. I think that for the most part works within the episodes that they've done so far. And I still think like I said, the third piece to that show for me is the part where it's also like basically a live action video game. And sometimes that's more like more overt than not. But it's still just like one cool little layer to
I do like
what
that
show's
keep,
got going on.
Keep a few characters that are in that that mold of like, yeah, this is just a video game. I do whatever the hell I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some of the interaction, like a lot
they're
of the
not
better,
necessarily wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of the better interactions with the humans, with the park guests in season mm-hmm. one are that kind of stuff where yeah. people are like, well, you know, it's just a game. I can, you know,
yeah.
why you why you trolling me, dog?
Right. I used to run over children in the old, you know, racing games or whatever. I can do it here.
Yeah, it's really. I think that show's cool.
Yeah.
When is the new season?
22nd, I think.
Yeah, in like two or three okay. weeks. So it's
this
coming
month
up.
Is when it starts. I'm nice. Excited.
Yeah, so you'll be you're
yeah.
right on time.
That was kind of like how we were with like one of the seasons of Game of Thrones. Like we started watching yeah. it right before like the first whichever
next one come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. I got in like the end of season or right before like season three, I think.
I think it might have been like five for us or something like that. But
yeah, it was a little. It was four or five, but still.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we watched this as it came out. So it's been, like, what, a year? 2 years?
Yeah.
Two years?
I think this was, like...
Because it was
the
in...
The start of 2017, I think. Because
it was in, like, the fall. It was, like, after Game of Thrones. There was, like, a lull mm-hmm. in between the seasons, and it's been a minute.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I want to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not Game of Thrones.
I mean, I do. I want to see how that ends.
You got
but...
another year
well, sure,
for...
But, like, yeah.
But, yeah, Westworld. It's going to be Westworld, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch season two of Westworld, but mm-hmm. I like that series a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's got there's cool stuff going on there.
It's a little gratuitous. So
a little bit.
Well, that's
I mean, it's
that's,
HBO.
Yeah, I say that's
yeah.
the same, right? That's the yeah, 100%. That like I think there's just a super fine line between like it's cool to do some of these things because you're allowed to do it, mm-hmm. you know, because it's paid, you know, premium cable or whatever, but. When there's so much of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, at some point, you even just stop noticing.
Yeah, yeah. It gets
I mean,
a little
you just
exhausting.
Get desensitized.
Right. Yeah, if you punch someone in the face, you know, every 10 minutes for 16 hours on end, eventually they just resign themselves to it. But if you punch someone in the face once every 4 days, they'll be on edge forever.
There has to be a scientific name for that effect.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a better way to describe that.
Right. No, I know what you're talking about. Twitch plays Pokemon of...
I think it's
right.
just learning.
I mean,
honestly?
Conditioning, I guess.
Conditioning, yeah.
We should finish...
Go ahead.
No, I say we can talk about that more after you watch the last episode.
Okay.
And then also we should try to con... Phil and Wade into
yeah.
watching it if they haven't.
I bet they'd like it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
I don't know. I know Phil isn't super into Game of Thrones. I don't think Wade is either. I think he watches it, but
mm-hmm.
kind of passingly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would think they might be a tiny bit more into this, but then also there's also just like I totally get the there is so much television
yeah.
that it's hard at some point to just start watching new series. Mm-hmm.
At least this only has a season, and it's like 10 episodes.
Right, it's only 10 episodes.
Yeah, right, yeah, that's
definitely
another
got
thing
that going for it.
About those premium cable series, like the HBO stuff and stuff
longer
like that.
Longer episodes,
is that
they're
not
but they're
like,
shorter.
Yeah, they're not 24 episode seasons
Play.
Of like network television or whatever. So there's a little bit less of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they end, you know, it's like 8 or 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Like over the run of putting those episodes out. And
yeah.
Then it's over
I'm glad,
for 12 months.
I'm glad on the whole TV has sort of fallen into that serial.
Mm-hmm.
Pattern as
oh,
opposed
for
to
sure.
you know, like pre I want to say like 24 when that show came out, everything before that was just you know, episodic and it would just mm-hmm. go forever and nothing
right.
would ever
yeah,
happen
yeah it was designed to be
syndicated?
A weekly
is that
yeah
the term?
Yeah
sure right well yeah built for syndication in the sense that like
yes.
you know they were designing them such that you know once they churned out 100 episodes
this
of the
train
thing,
keeps going it's self-sustaining
they can slot it into any time okay. slot and you know you can just watch it context-free at any point.
Your sitcoms.
Yeah, just
your
to make
Seinfelds,
it to make it easier to consume
right.
that way.
Your
you know,
whatever.
You turn on
structure. You start at A, go to point B, and then by the end of the episode, you're back at point A.
Right.
Then you start the next episode at point A. Maybe go to like
exactly.
point C, revisit B, maybe sometime like 30 episodes later. Oh wait,
probably
we're back
not.
At A. Let's keep going.
I'm into that.
Syndication?
No, the serial storytelling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I like when stories end.
Yes, it's very nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's made, like, that's the thing that is, like, it's made TV way more interesting relative to film. Because, mm-hmm. you know, movies always have been structured that way,
mm-hmm.
where they at least for the most part, where they have a, like, honestly, if anything, movies have moved the other way a little bit.
Yeah.
But traditionally, movies would be a story with a beginning, middle, and end. And the fact that TV shows can do that now, except they can have a lot more time to do that.
Right.
Like, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The Netflix model, even.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that, I still think that in general, like, the TV and film landscape is pretty good. There's just, like, if anything, there's just like video games, there's just too much, like, there's too much content to absorb as a single person, so you really have to pick your battles at some point. Mm-hmm.
I'd say we don't have anything good in the comedy realm anymore. Like, Parks and Rec finished and nothing really took its place.
Yeah, I don't know. There's gotta be, I bet there's, like, one or two series that are, like,
maybe
better than, like, that they're probably okay that I just haven't picked up, but at least personally, like, same. I don't think I haven't latched on to another, like, long-running comedy series.
Kimmy Schmidt's okay.
Yeah, Kimmy Schmidt.
It's probably as close as there is.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's also, like, it's a Netflix show, so it, like, right. it just comes it's, out it's, all at once as opposed
more,
to, like, weekly.
Yeah, it's 13 episodes a season?
Something
like
that.
I think so. And you can see, like, you can feel the, like, you can see the through line from 30 Rock in that
show.
Yeah,
definitely.
Like, it is absolutely made by some of the same people. Like, you can see it episode to episode. Like, even a lot of the joke structures are very similar, which is fine. And I still like that show, but I don't think it has, and probably unfair to necessarily compare it this way, but I don't think it has hit the highs of, like, the highest points of 30 Rock.
No.
But it's
yeah,
still good.
That's,
so.
That's a high bar, you're
right. Yeah, it is. Like, the best of 30 Rock is, like, up there.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the other thing we were watching not too long ago was I don't think we talked about this once for, like, a second, but The Good Place is very good.
Yes,
that's
a
comedy
you
that is on
that.
TV right now.
Well, it's in between.
Well, and now its season has ended as well.
It's a funny show.
I mean, it hasn't been, like, there will be a season 3.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe there shouldn't be, but
well, whatever.
Tell you about syndication again.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not remembering our conversation very well, but you were talking about American Gods at one point, too.
That's not a comedy.
That's not a comedy.
Okay.
That's more like Game of Thrones-y, Westworld-y.
Yeah, it's
like, it's Starz,
yeah,
right?
It's a, yeah,
Showtime?
Or whatever.
I think premium
it's Showtime.
Cable.
Yeah, it's a non-HBO premium cable thing.
It's intense, but it's good.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I like it quite as much as either Game of Thrones or Westworld, but it is. I do like it.
It's interesting.
That premise could absolutely be a comedy, though.
Yeah,
it's not.
Totally.
So
it's
that's why I was
not,
confused.
Oh.
Unsure.
Yeah. Some of those episodes, man. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Indeed.
But The Good Place, though.
Yeah.
I also, about a week or so ago, finished Final Fantasy XII HD.
Okay.
Nice.
That game is aged.
Oh, man, that's hard to hear, because I really liked that game
me.
At the time. Like,
okay.
I liked it a lot.
Right, I'm not surprised at all that you would like that, because it has the whole, basically, program your characters aspect to it.
Yeah, I thought that was super cool.
Was it 2002?
I think it was a little later than that.
I think it was later than that.
But yeah, that was a cool thing at the time, but eh.
Yeah, and like, right, and I
struggled with it a lot.
Yeah, in that moment, it felt like I get why people kind of were super down on it because it was different, but for that same reason, it felt like a real breath of fresh air for Final Fantasy, having been, like, basically all the way up through
2006.
Having still been doing, like, the active time battle, like, the gauge fills up and then you can do a thing battle system. The fact that they changed it up so much, like, I really appreciated that.
Right. I mean, you could see the evolution between that game and, like, Final Fantasy XI.
Sure.
If you play that.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes the more open world approach to combat.
Yeah, it definitely
but
does.
The stupid programming thing, like, the one character, I mean, I guess every character, actually, I don't know how it was in the original, but the HD
new one,
version
expands
a lot of
the
talent trees, so
you can
know a lot of
the Zodiac
job
system or something like that.
But anyway, like, I like using thieves in these games, and there's no way to program a thief right in the programming, whatever they call it.
To, like, give it the series of actions that you would want it to take
right.
under the
there's
right
no way
circumstances.
To say, steal this target until you've stolen something, and then stop.
Yeah, yeah. They see that stuff is
wow,
like,
steal.
Right.
Yeah, that definitely, I can see where that system would fall apart for, like, specific strategies that they failed to account for.
Yeah.
And there's no way, real way to have, like, preset, you know, programs. So you can use the same set of inputs for everything, or you can do them manually, basically, or change them on the fly.
Can't save those macros.
Most trash mobs, who cares?
For sure.
The, yeah, I bet if that game...
The harder stuff, you need more specific strategies that you wouldn't have prepared ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet if that game came out today as, like, a fresh product, not just a re-release, that they would account for that stuff. Like, I bet that that game would be better now than it was then. Because I do remember... I remember that system being cool, but I also do remember it being very simple in the sense that, like, there wasn't much uniqueness to the way different characters were, like, programmed that way. It was a lot of very generic, like, sweeping across the board, like, when your health is less than, you know, X percent, do this.
Yeah.
I mean, those aspects have been in, like, the Tales series for a very long time and have kind of gotten a little more fleshed out as they've moved on, like, the... like your health is here, like check, yeah, you can like set their, there's actually a lot of control you can have over their AI, even more so in some of the later ones like Zestiria, which I did dip into a little bit because the AI is dumb.
Dustin, you played the original then? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I
he hasn't finished it though.
I did not finish it.
A Final Fantasy game.
Well, you put enough time into it to get a general feel for the pace, right?
Yeah, I played it for about 20-25 hours. Okay.
That's surprising.
Did it feel grindy to you?
A little bit from what I remember. And again, it's been like I also didn't play it when it was brand new. Like I think I played that game in like 2008 or 2009. Mm-hmm. Like I got it. I very much picked it up like out of the bargain bin at GameStop when it was like $20, and then played it at that point. But yeah, I do remember it getting a little bit grindy at some points.
This game mercifully has a x4 and a x8 speed function.
Oh yeah, nice. I know that there's speed ups.
And I was thinking, without that, this game might be intolerably slow.
Sure, although and this is probably not necessarily a good thing, but the other part about that weird system of programming stuff is even when it was at its most grindy, you could kind of just like point it in the direction of encounter and then let it play out.
Yeah.
Like, you could go to the bathroom, let your guys fight a fight and then come back and then continue playing. Like I definitely remember doing that a little bit when I was playing it originally. It's like, I don't need to do anything for the next 2 minutes. I'm just going to go, you know,
whatever.
Make a sandwich and it'll be fine.
I don't even want to say it was fun, but it was interesting to just, you know, trek through, a zone and, you know, murder 1,000 things in a minute. It would all happen automatically. I just had to guide them from point A to point B.
Did you fight the, like, million health boss?
Probably not.
It's a side boss. He's in, like, a coliseum and, like, I don't remember. He's, like, this weird, like, horse thing. He's enormous and he's got, like, over a million health and you can, like, leave the encounter and his HP will stay the same but he'll slowly regenerate it. Like, it's a hell of a thing. Like, I think
is it a, what do they call them? Just, you know, bounty?
I don't know. I know very little about this game in general, but I'm pretty sure my friend Natalie has actually done it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I think she played a lot of 12.
I tried to do a lot of the bounties. I wanted to do all of them, but, well, two things happened. I did do as many as I could, but the problem with them is you pick one up, you know, like any sort of, any standard video game quest at a bar, tavern, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then you have to go find the NPC, talk to the NPC, and then go to fight the thing, and then go back to the NPC, and then go back to the, you know, the tavern bar to pick up more quests.
So you said this game has aged.
Yes, exactly. So the fun parts were when I was playing the game, and the
not
frustrating
doing busy work.
Grindy parts, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that happened is I finished the game, and the game, the pacing of which towards the end really threw me, like, you're just kind of getting dragged along, and the plot's not making a bunch of sense. And
so it's a
different thing happens,
game.
Different thing happens, and then it just struck me how quickly it was over.
Huh.
So I didn't even realize I was in the last encounter until about halfway through it.
And oh, then
it was
shit. Done.
Yeah.
So then what happened is you finish the game, and it's like, all right, new game plus, you know, yes or no, and it'll start you over with all your save data, or you could go back to the last time you saved.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't say you don't have to save in this game because it auto saves, but it doesn't go back to your auto save.
Oh man!
Oh god!
Actually saved.
All right.
So I was looking at like a day of lost progress or new game plus, and I'm like, well, guess I'm done.
I guess I'm done. Yeah. That's crazy. That's real weird.
That's so arcane.
I probably wasn't gonna go for the platinum just because you had to do some kind of stupid things like fill out the bestiary, but I did want to do all of the bounties, especially. Mm-hmm. there's two Gilgamesh's, mm-hmm. you know, an easy one and a hard one, and I really wanted to do the second one because that was a treat of a fight.
Yeah.
So John DiMaggio was, or Gilgamesh was voiced by John DiMaggio, so that was neat.
Nice. I was going to ask you, actually, the last thing I was going to ask you about the game itself was what you thought of the story, because that's another thing I remember about it at the time. Was that there were two camps, like, there were people who were really down on it because it is very different and kind of dry a little bit.
Very dry.
And then there are people, which I think I'm a little closer to, like, I don't think it's amazing, but I do like that it's different. Because it is very much like a, it's like a super boring version of Game of Thrones. Like
a little.
It's like all political intrigue and like warring fiefdoms, but without without all the gratuitous violence and the tits.
I would have liked what the story was, which is pretty much what you described, if the main characters had more to do with it. It definitely suffers from...
That's an excellent point,
who
honestly.
Who the hell are these characters, and why do they care about any of them?
Yeah,
the
like
story doesn't involve them at all, and
right.
they just get dragged around.
Because, right, the opposite, yeah, like, the trope of JRPGs is that, for some reason, you're some hick from a town who becomes the most important person on Earth. And this game sort of is the opposite, where you're...
You're nothing.
Yeah, you're just, like, sort of... like, you're kind of Forrest Gumping your way through the beats of that story, like, mostly just observing them without necessarily having, like, some super mm-hmm. important impact on a lot of it.
I would have cared about the story more if, you know, you were more witness to the important things that were happening.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. That all tracks with what I remember of that game, like, as I played through it. Like,
which
the part that I got
like,
to, basically.
Why I was surprised when it was almost over is, like, you know, oh, the king's dead, or, you know, the guy killed the king, and, you know... So you just show up after that's happened, and like, I'm the king now, and you fight him.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And, you know, we started this war while you were out. It's happening now.
You know, say, there's war happening.
Oh, no.
Also, let's fight.
All right.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad you at least played it, because I do think it's cool that people, like, I think that's cool that that version came out just so mm-hmm. people can, like, more humans can get eyeballs on it, because that game... has been, like, almost forgotten, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah, definitely.
In the grand tapestry.
It's not 10, and it's not 13.
Yeah.
It was the lowest Final Fantasy number I'd never played, so I went for it.
I like it.
Did you know that John DiMaggio also played Waka and Kamari in Final Fantasy X?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
His IMDb, or whatever voice actor equivalent, is incredibly long.
I wanted to see, because there is a voiced Gilgamesh in World of Final Fantasy. I wanted to see if it was the
okay.
same one. Because I can't remember his voice off the top of my head. It's not.
Okay.
But I
but
wanted,
you,
to
you wanted to check.
I wanted yeah. to check to see if it was the same guy. No, that's a Japanese voice actor for World of Final Fantasy. Never mind. Don't listen to me. I'm continue on.
Hmm.
Nah. That's still,
about all I have to say.
Yeah,
I
think that's
probably. Definitely, it looks like a PS2 remake game.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, that's fine, but.
Yeah. PS2 doesn't look like, terrible.
You sort of appreciate how far things have come mm-hmm. since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember having that feeling when I played, like, the 10 remake.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, yes, this is a PS2 game, but I was playing on my Vita, so it looked fucking great.
This is another one. I'm not sure how they did it in the original, but in. This one, you have all your skill trees or whatever, and you unlock them with ability points, mm-hmm. standard stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, literally every piece of gear in the game has to be unlocked with an ability, you know, slot on the board or whatever. You can't equip anything until you've unlocked the mm-hmm. respective piece
I'm
for it.
I'm pretty sure that that's how it was. Like, I don't think that has changed. And I do remember people complaining about that, too, which I think is... like, and I don't remember 10 well enough to know if this was true, but I remember the complaint being at the time being like people saw that game's upgrade tree where it's the weird like tile grid
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you know unlock new tiles or whatever, and then there was the sphere grid in 10 and people were like, oh, the sphere grid's so dynamic, you can go in any direction and do whatever.
I mean,
right,
can.
I remember that.
And like, I remember people being like bummed out that this game's sphere grid equivalent was so much more linear.
You could at least choose your jobs for every character in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a change.
Yeah,
I'm
I think
sure.
that's unique to the remake, if I remember
okay.
correctly.
That
like
you
the
could
job
just
system
jobs.
Was added. Shrug.
And a lot of that stuff never even came into play either. Most of the game was pretty easy.
Sure.
Even most of the quests or the bounties I'd done, I was just kind of mashing your way through.
Yeah, and yeah, in a it's weird because in a 2018 context, I think like Shrug is pretty appropriate for that game in the modern era. But it is still a really interesting thing to visit from, like, a, like you said, kind of like that weird snapshot of them coming off of 10 as like the right. most recent single player one, mm-hmm. and seeing weird influences from 11 in that game, and then honestly seeing like what 13 became after this game, because for the most part, like they took the weirder, like more fiddly programmability parts, like out of 13, but it's still
sort of, but
like,
it's still very similar.
Sort of
the paradigm shifting, and like you can go in and like kind of program your party members in that game too. Like there's weird,
okay,
like if thens you could do.
Say maybe we didn't do as much of that stuff.
I did it.
I think you could even do a little bit of that in 15, where you could just have sort of.
Yeah, I think I remember when we watched Brian play it. I kind of remember watching him do some like. Of that nonsense. Mm-hmm.
I just remember it being like less fiddly in terms of like weird things dependent on like raw numbers of like based on your health and stuff like that.
I think some of that stuff
that
was in there. I think it was
it's
more
been
like
a long time since I played that
game. Also, you had to buy all the programming names, you know, lines.
Ew.
So if you wanted to be able to react to being silenced, you had to go buy the silenced
Gross.
Line.
That's an old video.
Otherwise,
game.
You couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's that's pretty funny. Oh man.
I was just disappointed because I played the Tactics Advance games a long time ago, and these are set in the same
universe. Yeah.
So that had a cool little world where, you know, it's run by judges, and the judges sort of tell you what the rules for engagements are, and they punish you or reward you based on how you do it. And I thought that was neat.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't play at all into the game. The judges were just stormtroopers.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, they're like bosses, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
kind of they were like a tier above stormtroopers. I don't know what that would equate to in Star Wars universe, but I guess. Yes,
they're
yes,
all
Captain Phasmas, exactly. Like, that was disappointing.
Mm.
And they have all these cool like races, like the alligator, Banga, and the
I know them from
the little bear guys.
The Arrhythmia.
But they don't also don't really play much of a role in the game at all. You just have a team full of humans and one weirdly dressed rabbit.
Oh yeah, the sexy Fran.
Yeah.
I know her from The Arrhythmia. And I technically played a little bit of 12. Like 20 minutes.
That is a very little bit.
Well, no, because we were borrowing it from one of my sister's friends, and then he took it back.
Fair enough.
So I didn't get that's
that.
Why I stopped playing 12.
Mm-hmm. That's how
video
games
work
sometimes.
I'm just asking for more diversity in my Final Fantasy 12 lineups is all.
Fair enough.
Man, more aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that game is super interesting from a historical perspective, but...
It's a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not like... I would, as someone who's probably a bigger fan of that game than most, I would also be, like, somewhat suspect of somebody who's like, yeah, 12, it's my favorite one in the series.
Yeah, right, because you've
That's
already
probably
got
the only Final Fantasy game
they've
played.
It up.
But it is interesting. Like, it's like...
I give it, you know, a B, B minus, somewhere in there. It was a good game. It was worth the $18 that I spent on it.
Nice.
Sounds about right. I think I'd mostly concur with that opinion. And like I said, I played it even in the same context back then of, I didn't buy it originally at the time, and then I was like, oh, this is like $20.
Woo!
All right, let's go.
Think of the savings.
What's the worst thing that could happen?
Very cool. I'll touch on like a handful of things real quick.
What have you been doing?
And then we'll call it a show. Tiny Chunks, and I want to get into all of these more a little later, but I played a little bit of Mother 3.
Cool.
Because Lorraine was kind enough to buy me
a reproductive.
Where'd you get that from?
I got it off of Etsy.
Or,
someone made put the fan translation on a Game Boy Advance cartridge. And
it's
I bought
very,
it.
Like, if I didn't know that Mother 3 had not been released, I would have believed that this cart was official. Like, the sticker on it and the cartridge itself is very, like, it totally looks like a production cartridge.
It's a little big. Like, if you actually see it, it doesn't sit quite flush, so you know that it's not real.
Okay. I mean, I chucked it into that Game Boy SP, and it looked fine to me.
I've got that fake
Consider
six
me fooled.
Card, so I know what a fake Game Boy Advance game looks
Say,
like.
Not quite quality approved, like Chinese molds for...
It's a little bit bigger. Like, most Game Boy Advance cartridges are flush with, like, the SP or the Game Boy Advance, but there's a little bit of a little bit of a raise.
I played, like, not even, I think, like, 30 or 40 minutes of
Damn.
It because I booted it up. Well, it was just like one of those nights where it was the last thing I did in an evening, and I was like, I'm getting a little tired, but I want to start this. So I played it until I was like about to fall asleep, and then I just kind of closed it. But it's cool.
I like that game a lot.
And I know literally nothing about the events of Mother 3. I have no idea what happens in that game. I know that Lucas is in it.
Yeah.
That's all I know about that game.
The Masked Man.
So I
there's a guy named Duster. You should like it.
It will be
and Rope Snake. Rope Snake's great.
It will be unfolding like completely fresh to me for the first time because I have no idea. Like
you should like the combat in that game because there's like a rhythm element to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A rhythm element I could never grasp.
Because it's the beat of the background music, and it's different for every encounter.
That's funny.
So you can get, like, multi-hits, like Mario RPG style. Like,
sure.
You have to find it.
But like you said, as opposed to, like, timing it within the context of any given move, it's timing
it's
it
timing
within
it
wherever
the beat
the track
of
is.
The song.
It's like Crypt of the NecroDancer.
Sure.
Yes. Another game I'm bad at.
Yeah, I definitely want to play more of it. That's all I know for sure. And that cartridge is cool. Like, it's a fun way to play that game.
It still really bums me out that that game never came out official.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I like it. Like, it was very fun.
Especially since they also, because there was, they did a port of 1 and 2 on a single cartridge in Japan.
Yeah.
On the Game Boy Advance, which would have been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, having Earthbound on an SP would be pretty cool.
I don't like Earthbound all that much. Maybe that makes me weird because I do really like Mother 3.
It's a really different game, honestly.
That's funny. I'll have to it'll be even more interesting.
Like
to
they
get
kind
into
of
this one,
all three of the games kind of tie in together,
just very loosely. Yeah.
Mother 3 is definitely the best one of them.
Because I like Kyle. I think I kind of agree with you in the fact that like I fucking love Earthbound's like style. Like kind of like Persona, honestly. Like I love the where that game is at like mentally. There's something about it that really speaks to me. But the combat part, like the part where you play it as a video game, I could kind of take or leave. Like
yeah,
it's
that's
fine.
Exactly.
That's
it.
Why I didn't actually play any of these games.
But it's definitely not like my favorite way to play an RPG. Like the gameplay in Earthbound is not my favorite thing ever, but
there's a lot more puzzly stuff in 3. Like
I think it has a stronger story from beginning to end.
Oh, absolutely. 3 is
like
really
Earthbound
good.
2 didn't, I mean, it did have a story, but it just seemed kind of like, here's an excuse to go see something weird. Here's another excuse to go do something weird.
You
want to
talk about characters just showing up when things are happening?
Now you're a robot. And then funny fan theories about what that means.
Put your brain in this robot because people can't travel back in time and go maybe abort this alien.
I really love that theory. Like,
I mean,
hope it's
have
true.
You seen the negative space though?
Yes, I have.
It's really suspect. Do you have any idea what we're talking about?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, we'll get into Mother 3 more specifically.
I'm excited.
The guys that did translate it, I think it was that website, Starman.
I think it's their, I'm assuming
it,
it's their translation, because that's like the
job.
That's the most prolific one that I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume.
I don't remember the listing
they
saying
really
anything
knocked
about
it, out
it specifically.
Of park with this, you know, fan translation.
Mm-hmm. They did a very good job.
And they specifically built it to be like a Nintendo-style localization.
Yeah.
You'd never know the difference.
They did their homework. Like, Starman.net, I believe, is like the full website URL or whatever, but...
The Earthbound fan community.
The biggest, I believe, Earthbound fan website, or at least the most prolific one.
Mm-hmm.
And they've said multiple times, like, hey, Nintendo, if you want this, here
it
is.
Please. I mean, you know that would never happen.
It definitely wouldn't. It's like, just here, it's for free. You can take this.
Yeah.
And they're still, like, you know, they probably have to pay them, like, there's more complicated legalese than just, like, them using it at the end of the day, I'm assuming, but whatever. They did finally re-release, like, Mother 1 and Earthbound onto, like, modern platforms, so they're... I still wouldn't count that game out. Like, I wouldn't count Mother 3 out from eventually being
released. I had hopes on the Wii U because they were doing all those Game Boy Advance ports. I'm like, maybe they'll actually pull the trigger, and then they didn't. And then they made that robot chicken joke at E3 that one time, and I was just like, maybe they won't ever do this.
In the case of Mother 1, Earthbound 0, the translation had existed forever. Yeah. They just never released it.
It was
Star Fox 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I think
as far as anyone knows, there is no, you know, official translation in the works anywhere.
I think they had done it around the same time as that the aforementioned Mother 1, Mother 2 combo came out. I don't think it was NES days. I don't, because Ape Inc., which is what A Creatures Inc. what became.
Yeah, look at that. Two in one show.
Bam, bam. I don't think they weren't anything.
Sure.
Really, at the time.
Yeah, pretty much started with Mother.
It was that, and then they did, like, I think, like, Kyle said, like, Monopoly or something like that. Like, they did the Picross
game.
That
was the second game.
And then turned into Creatures later, and then kind of got somewhat absorbed into Pokemon. It's weird. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Sure. Very cool. But yeah, I will play,
I guess.
I will play more of that
game. You really
game.
Should finish it.
How far into that game did you get? Like, what's the last thing that happened?
I honestly just got past the, like, the tutorial where, like, you wander out of your cabin or whatever. Like, I got to the flashback thing.
The flashback.
Like, you go, like, you're with the, you are, like, Lucas or whatever,
uh-huh.
and his brother.
Claws.
And it's like, here's how combat works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
You're hanging out with the T-Rex guys, and they're so cute.
The nicest dinosaurs
and then
in the world.
They're so cute and happy.
And then it says, like, you know, some amount of time ago, and there's a dude who comes to your door, and he's like, hey, you gotta come check this thing out. There's some shit going down. Is this making sense?
Oh, God, that's where you stopped?
Yeah. Because, like I said, mostly, not because I felt like quitting, because I was just like, my eyes were literally dripping shut, and I was just like, all right,
you should definitely be awake for what happens fucking next.
Yeah, sure.
I did not play the start
of the story.
Yeah, right, exactly. The video game hadn't quite really begun even.
No.
Gotcha.
So that's where I was at.
Man, you should put that in the Game Boy Player. I want to watch you play that.
Okay, yeah. I might
it's
do
It's been
that.
A long time, because I watched a very well-done Let's Play of mm-hmm. that game. Like, I think it was while I was still in college, like, on the side, and I fell in love with it, and I'd love to see it again.
Okay, yeah, I've always wanted to replay that game too.
Yeah,
I should.
I might have to boot it up in that form, and we can play some more of it.
You can make that your next stream game, even.
Yeah, I think about it. I might do that.
I mean,
we'll
I think I had kind of suggested it, but if you'd mm-hmm. rather not do another very long RPG,
no, I would kind of be down for that actually. Yeah,
it isn't, but yeah.
We'll discuss that off mm-hmm. the podcast, but I think I would be down for doing that. And it would guarantee that I would finish it, which
would
be
cool.
That is
true. I want you to finish that game.
But anyway, so I played a tiny bit of that.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of Burnout Paradise Remaster, which is very good.
It's a racing game that I actually kind of like, and I don't like racing games that much.
Yeah, so it's the third, maybe the fourth.
Who cares?
Anyway, the Burnout series is an awesome series of racing games. It's probably closer to something like a Mario Kart than like a Forza. Like, it's not finicky.
Okay.
It's basically all about going fast and forcing the cars to crash into each other.
And like car porn spectacularly crashing, like slow-mo, pieces are going everywhere. It's beautiful.
Like fun, like crash dummy style. Like,
there's no people in any of these cars also. They're just literally empty husks that you're driving around. So it's just like mm-hmm. spectacular crashes. The car like flips over multiple times.
Yeah, like basically like if the idea of watching like slow-mo videos of like cars being crashed into walls for test purposes is appealing to you, and then also they encourage you to make cars do that, and mm-hmm. you get a boost meter that goes up that makes your car faster by forcing other cars to do that. That's basically what Burnout is. And it's very fun and very awesome. And Burnout Paradise, that game that was re-released, was originally a 360 game that is super different than the previous ones, because the games before it were much more like linear. They were kind of like level-to-level racing games where it would be mm-hmm. like, here's a track, get first.
Do a thing.
Yeah. And this game is a
motherfucking open world.
Just like an open world city that kind of like branches out. It's basically like fake San Francisco.
Something like that.
There's like a city by the water that like kind of winds up into these like mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all open world, and it just kind of plops you down. It's like, hey, go drive around this city and have some fun. And the scripted content in that game is that at every single intersection in the game, if you stop at a light, there's an event tied to that intersection where it'll be like, here's a race. Hit the gas and the brake at the same time to initiate this activity. Mm-hmm. And then it'll just like pull back out to the map and it'll be like, get from here, you know.
To here.
Get from the baseball stadium to the observatory and do it the fastest. Mm-hmm. And then it starts and you go off and race.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are like other like different versions of like racing or crashing
mm-hmm.
that happen with those. Like there's just straight up races where it's just like get there first. There's time trial ones. You have to get there in a certain amount of time. They have like marked man events, which is like basically it's kind of like Juggernaut, like in a first person shooter. Like the objective is for you to get to the end, but then you're racing with other cars whose only objective is to destroy your car. And there's like one or two other different ones.
But it's just really fun and really well made. And honestly, that game specifically does things like that still racing games to date haven't quite mastered in the same way that that game does. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a really good combination of, like, it controls really well. It feels really fast while you're playing it. And it is, like, it is very, like, very tactile, but not finicky. Like, like I've played some of the Forza Horizon games are probably the closest to it in terms of, like, somewhat approachable racing games. Because those games have basically, like, slightly obscured the weird, like, car porn, yeah, parts that I'm not into about driving cars in video games. Like, if you want, you can still get under the hood and be like, well, let me tweak my suspension manually. Like, I don't want to do any of that shit. No, I just want to push the gas and make the car go vroom.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
And, like, Burnout Paradise is the perfect version of that. Like, it is, if you want to make a fake car go as fast as possible, and knock guys off the road to make it go even faster.
Then I have a game for you.
It's very fun. And then the last thing we've been messing with is the Pokemon Go update came out. And honestly, we can talk about this later if we end up talking about it more.
We could at least brush on it now. There's like kind of like story quests now.
But yeah, the quarterly like update for Pokemon Go dropped like a couple days ago. And it's like Lorraine said, it's basically like quest content, which they call research in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people keep calling it quests because there were like leaks, like people were digging apart like the game updates, and within the game code previously it was referred to as quests, but in the shipping, like in the version of the game that they put out to be consumed finally, it's like research.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're doing Professor Willow, is that the professor's name in this game?
Yes.
Basically, the story conceit is that he wants to help you figure out some shit about Pokemon in the form of...
Specifically being Mew, at least right now.
In the form of both larger, like, linear story missions and then, like, daily
side
challenges
quests,
that are, like, things that you pick up on the fly.
I catch 10 Pokemon and get a thing, or spin a few stops, or...
Mm-hmm.
The MMO-est thing ever.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Although I will say that the way they implemented it... usually when a video game I like makes a change of some sort, I almost instantly have the urge to say, you know, I like this, but I would have done this, and they think it would have made it better.
Oh, sure.
But actually, the opposite, I think, occurred in this case, where the way that they implemented this in this update, I think, is much smarter than the way I would have done it, which would have been the stupidest, easiest way, which is just like... For daily challenges, every day you get some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it actually works in the game, the way that they did implement it, is still, like, the two primary things you do in Pokemon Go are catch Pokemon and spin Pokestops, which are just, like, fixed points on Earth that you touch and then they drop items. And with this update, in addition to touching those to get, like, Pokeballs and potions and all that shit, each unique Pokestop on the planet... once per day, will drop a unique quest that you can do that day. So you don't get quests just by booting up the game on any given afternoon or whatever.
Get them.
You have to go out to Pokestops, interact with them, and then as you kind of touch new ones and make your way through, you know, if you're walking down like a downtown area, or, you know, you go to a public park to just like, you know, walk around in circles and get a little exercise and, you know, grind items in the game. Each stop drops a unique thing that is both... It basically just encourages you to keep moving to as many different places as possible, and it increases... It's like one more way the game becomes cooperative at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can even say, like, if you run into someone else playing the game, you can be like, oh man, did you see the stop across the park, like, in the northeast corner over there? That one's got the best quest of the day. You should go get that shit. so it basically, like, it is... it improves a part of the game that I think they haven't improved on in a while. Like, the raid stuff is good for the game because it gives you, like, a reason to power up your guys at all.
Yeah.
And that made, like, big group... Like, it gave people reasons to play that game together, whereas before raids there were really none. And this kind of pushes back in the opposite direction, where it makes playing the game alone a little more satisfying because it's a way to get more rewards by playing by yourself. But it also makes the walking around part of that game, like,
better
and more, like, cooperative and... It basically just makes the part of that game where it's just, you know, walk around and get some exercise and hunt for some Pokemon. Like, it makes that a little more interesting than it was before. So I think that that's all for what that game is. I think that's really smart.
Yeah.
That does actually remind me of something that happened. Did you hear Niantic settled for $1.6 million over the yeah. Chicago debacle?
Yeah, I did see that. So we might get a couple hundred bucks.
Got some really? Money in the mail.
Yeah, although we gotta, like, they haven't done it yet. Like, they're supposed to launch a website where you can go say, like, hey, I went and, you know, I spent X dollars on travel. Please reimburse me.
Good luck.
Yeah, right. I guess we'll see.
But how does that work when our flights got canceled and we got reimbursed for those?
Now you see, look what you did. You said it on the internet.
We had that whole podcast where we talked about that, like, right after.
No, it's fine. We still paid money for gas and stuff.
That is true.
Yeah, right.
And Taco Bell breakfast.
And I guess the way that...
a tax that can't be counted.
Yeah, and I guess I did see the article about the lawsuit. The way the lawsuit works is they'll give you $100, and if you want to say that you spent more than that, you have to provide documentation. So we can just say, like, I'm perfectly okay with taking, you know... If we can get $100 each for our trouble, I will be totally all right with that. But if you spent, like, you know, if you flew in from Australia or whatever, you spent like $5,000 on airfare, basically you have to document that and, like, show receipts and say, like, hey, I actually did spend this money.
It was a shit show.
But yeah, that's probably, you know, I feel, For as much as they definitely should compensate people, I'd feel bad if I'd feel bad about them having to pay that much out if they weren't still making, like, gangbusters money. Yeah. But luckily, they made like $1 billion last year, so I think they can afford it.
The $1.6 million is the drop.
Yeah.
Fine.
Lord
only knows how much that's going to go up when Harry Potter comes out this year.
Yeah, that'll be. We'll see.
Shrug.
I doubt it'll even come close to the madness that was.
It'll be something. Like,
it'll be something.
It's gonna.
Well, yeah, I don't think the influx of people playing it originally will come anywhere close, but it will be an interesting stress test of, like, that platform.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Like, it is ultimately going to be, you know, more people connecting to their ultimate, like, server architecture, right?
That Ingress,
like,
nonsense.
So that will be something. But that said, you know, it probably still won't be. Like, the load on their back end probably won't be as heavy as it was when that game first came out. It was like every third person on Earth was playing it.
Yeah, it's not going to be
that. I think they'll be fine.
That was like the original Pokemon, Lightning in a Bottle.
But yeah, I did hear about that, which is...
cool.
Yeah, like I said, good for the people who did spend way more than we did. I hope that, you know, I hope you did, if you did spend like $1,000 on air travel and hotel and stuff, that you can claw some chunk of that back. And I hope they do another event like that in North America this year.
Are they planning to?
So it's kind of unclear, because the way that they've done event stuff recently, and the way that and even internationally, they basically built, like, with both this update and kind of some of the other ones previously, it looks like they've been building the game to do way more decentralized content, like, not necessarily to put themselves in the trap of, let's invite everybody to come to this, like, two block area and all play at once. Like, the stuff they've done, that none of this was even client-side, but it's basically all just, like, server-side roles of modifying the game data for a little while. The thing they've done for the last couple months are they have community events once a month where they just pick one day a month, and for that period, a rare Pokemon spawns way more frequently. They usually roll out, like, they release the shiny version of that Pokemon into the wild, and then there's some global game modifier, like extra, you know, Stardust or XP
or whatever.
You get more resources for playing during that period. And with that, those kind of things combined with the quest system, I sort of suspect that, like, that's the route they'll go when doing more, like, bigger events. Like, I think there'll be...
there are Earth Day events. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that, which is cool. But I think they will do both. Like, I think they will say, you know, hey, if you come to Los Angeles over this weekend... You know, you might catch some interesting Pokemon.
They've been doing that for, like, E3 PAXs and, like, the Pokemon Championship or whatever.
Right.
Where they're, like, I think the main thing that they've been doing is just kind of, like, making unknowns a little more common. Like, spelling out whatever the event is, because that's cute or
Does
whatever.
Does it have all 28 unknowns in it or whatever?
I believe so.
The exclamation point and question mark exist on the back end now, but they haven't been released, like, in the wild yet. But the other ones are in the game.
Yeah, all 26.
But yeah, I would think that it's going to be probably closer to stuff like that, where it's like, hey, if you want to come to the spot, there are, like, unique spawns mm-hmm. here for a given period of time.
And they've been doing a lot of different events, like, kind of more similar to the Chicago thing, but no one has paid for them in Japan. There's been a lot of that stuff, like mm-hmm. specific cities and or prefectures of Tokyo have been doing things.
Yeah, and that stuff happens like almost like at least once a month, I think. Because like even I saw a thing on Twitter that was just like, oh, there's like for the Slowpoke prefecture, there's like Slowpokes in this one part of Japan
Mm.
So they do all kinds of weird stuff for that game in Japan. Like they had that weird Giovanni's Nidoking thing.
Oh yeah.
They had special Nidoking raids in Japan that weren't actually like the Nidoking you got from raiding wasn't actually different. The encounter itself was just way harder. Like they just gave him better stats and more health, which was kind of cool, I guess. Like it's a thing to do, but that was literally only at Pokemon centers in Japan for like 3 weeks. So Japan does get a lot of weird, like, one-off content for that game that not
I think they might
other
be
regions
scared
don't necessarily get
to do it here. And then they had those kerfuffles with like the safari zones in Europe. Like, they've been. I feel like Japan is the only one that hasn't been hit by like a bad event, because like the Europe event and the
they do have excellent mobile infrastructure. So
I guess it's
that.
True. But still, they've kind of fucked up everywhere else and are a little scared to do.
Yeah, we'll see. More but I kind of expect it to be more like. Like I said, I wouldn't be. They'll announce a thing. We're like, hey, come to spot and do a thing, mm-hmm. and then at that same moment, basically what they did last year with GoFest around the world was they did the thing where like, hey, if you all go out and catch a bunch of Pokemon, you know, we'll tally that up on the back end, and then something special will happen. And I think what they do now that they've built out some of those other features in the game is I would expect them to roll like a special story quest to everyone at that point that is like,
maybe
here's a list of all these special things you can do to tie in with this global event. So, you know, I guess we'll see in the next couple months what shape that stuff kind of takes. But, I mean, all I know for sure is that they'll keep doing, you know,
stuff,
special events, spread out across the world. But I wouldn't be surprised if they tried it again. Probably only one more time. Yeah. If it went south a second time, I can't imagine they'd be like, third time's the charm.
To go too fast.
But I could see them trying it a second time. And also people are like, I don't think there's anything whatsoever confirmed about this, but people were thinking that Canada might be a likely option for like a North American event this time.
Toronto.
Scared.
Which would be cool. Yeah, I'd Toronto's great. That'd be a great place to do that.
Yeah, but then we can't mobile.
Eh, well, whatever. If we went, we'd figure it out. But
if you say so.
Yeah, it's
buy
cool.
a burner and load your Pokemon account on it.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that game. That is, like I said, I think recently, pretty much everything they've done to that game, I think, is a smart way to evolve gameplay that is walk around and touch your phone.
Delightful.
And I think that's about it. So unless you guys have anything else, we might just call it a show.
Nope.
Nah.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you, Kyle.
20 days till Infinity War.
Oh, man, you're right.
Three?
Well, no, not... Well, wait.
20... it's the 24th?
Yes, I think, right?
Okay. Oh,
we'll have to look it up.
Days?
It's really soon.
It is soon. It's this month.
Yeah.
Hella.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm excited.
The 26th.
Okay.
Woo.
Very good.
Woo.
Just about 3 weeks.
That same week is when Westworld launches.
That's true.
Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Well, until we see evil cowboys shooting other evil cowboys and giant superhero men beating the shit out of each other.
And a grape.
And a grape. We will call it a show. So thanks Kyle for hanging out and talking about stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you Lorraine for hanging out and sharing video games with me. I still can't wait to hear what's up with Detective Pikachu. And
I'll play some more of that.
I want to know who the culprit is.
I do
absolutely
too.
Yeah, which Pokemon do
he's
they like
the culprit?
Well, I guess
grab
it
them.
Might still be Mewtwo, but I want to see the org chart of evil Pokemon, like who are Mewtwo's like lieutenants,
the fucking corkboard.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Get out your red yarn. And
hell yeah.
Partner bring in up these with evil Pokemon. And catch the Phantom Thieves.
No.
Akechi no is right. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in a couple weeks. So until then, see you later, Internet.
Bye.
Leave me alone.